I love church. This is where I feel comfortable. These are the people that I want to hang out with. These are the people I want to laugh with. These are the people that I have a good relationship with, right? I'm so blessed. I hope you're blessed too, to know people, children of God in your life. We're going to try to finish now the series that have been started here. We've been looking at Romans chapter number 14, chapter number 12, I should say, verse 14 and 15, Romans chapter number 12. So you want to turn there. I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight, but look at it again. Romans chapter number 12, chapter 12, verse 15 to 16. We've been at this now for the last Sunday nights that I've been able to teach and preach. And I hope that you're putting it in your heart. And I hope that you're asking the Holy Ghost, if you're misunderstanding something, if you're not understanding this truth by now. And I know it's hard to put all the knowledge in our mind. We'll forget it, all right? The best way to retain knowledge is to do it, to apply it, to live it in your life. And maybe you caught on a few things we talked about, that we should not be coming across proudful, intellectual pride. We looked at that. We talked about what it means to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with them that weep. We talked about that. We talked about what it means to be approachable and relatable. And this is part two of that. And we're going to finish today. And talked about some safeguards that we could have in our lives so that we could remain humble. And so some of these are kind of sounding all about the same for you, I'm sure, if you've been listening to it. But maybe let it sit for a while and then maybe go back on the live stream and pick it up again. And maybe God will give you a new eyes view on and perspective. But I'm going to finish the last praise that I did not finish here on verse number 16. All right? Romans chapter number 12, I'm sure you're there by now. Romans 12 and verse number 16, we talked about be of the same mind one to another. In the last message, we kind of elaborated on what that means. And that simply means being unified in the truth. Being unified in the truth. We'll defer because I'm going to say that word because I have to say it right. We might have our differences because we're simply human beings. And we have opinions that might be different from one another. And we have preferences. And we talked about those things. And at times, those are not wrong. It makes us unique. And it makes it exciting to live life. I'm glad somebody's different than me. My wife used to say this because she is really morally the missionary that went to the Philippines for 10 years. She really bore that weight of being different. I mean, everywhere I went, she was like the spotlight all the time. And I'm glad in the country that we went, they adored her. You could be a spotlight in other parts of the world and they don't like you. That's worse. But she was adored. She was the blonde hair, blue eye, tall American Barbie doll. And everybody loved that. And I get to be the one to walk around and say, that's my Barbie doll. I used to tease people over there because they said, I want one of them. And I said, well, they cost a pretty penny. And they don't just take regular makeup. I mean, it has to be the name brand. I mean, for them, you know, their name brand maybe is pretty reasonable for us. Maybelline, CoverGirl, those are maybe common. We can get them at Walmart. But for Filipinos, when they look at a label, it says Maybelline. It's like, whoa. That's like ultra. That's like, whoa, I can't touch that. And I said, well, if you want one of her, that's what she uses. All right? And that kind of drops a little bit of their craziness, you know. And they're content to have what they can have. I tell them all the time, we have a good time with the Filipinos, and we enjoy the culture over there. I would walk into the store, And I would dress like this. I don't know if you saw me wearing what I wore Wednesday night. It was a short sleeve barong. And this is the full long sleeve barong. When you wear the short sleeve barong, a lot of the drivers, because people are pretty wealthy in their eyes over there, they will have drivers. And typically, if she walks in, they would not in their mind think it twice that she is pretty well to do. And so she would have a driver. And so a lot of times as a gentleman and as a chivalrous man, I would drop her off. Brother Calvin is going about to bust laughing here. And I would drop her off. And as I would drop her off, obviously she gets to go into the store before me. I had to go find parking. And parking in 2 million people is a trip to find a parking spot. And a lot of times, half an hour later, I found this parking spot. I walk in. And by this time, she's trying to find cereals for the kid. And she's obviously in the export section because Filipinos don't eat cereal. So if you're going to eat cereal to them, like, whoa, you're on the cereal aisle. These are like, whoo, these are like high up there. And so she's walking over there and she's picking up some, you know, the tiger guy. What's his name? Cornflakes. What is it? I don't know his name. But anyways, huh?
Tony the Tiger.
So she's going over there, and she, mind you, she's taller than most Filipino men. But I don't understand, when I walked in this scene, there's five Filipino worker men in that aisle with my wife, and they said, ma'am, we will get it for you. And my wife could have just simply got it. She would have just simply picked it up, and she would have had no problem. But they had said, no, ma'am, we'll take care of it. And then as they grabbed it and they put it in the cart, one of the guys came to me and said, you need to take care of your boss. Why are you making her do all this stuff? I'm like, whoa, wait a second, what do you think I am? He said, are you not the driver? That's what they thought, I was the driver. And I said, okay, next time, babe, we're gonna mess these people up. We're going to really mess them up. Babe, I'm going to let you walk ahead of me. We won't hold our hands like our customer that we do. I'll let you walk ahead of me, and I'll walk behind you, and I'll say the things that a driver would say. Ma'am, 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 how are you? Like that. And then right about that time, you stop what you're doing, and you give me a big smackaroo. Just right in front of the whole group. Just do it. Just do it. And so I did. We walked right in there, and I said exactly what I needed to say. Ma'am, I got everything you wanted me. And then she stopped me dead in my tracks, and she gave me a big old kiss. And you should have seen all 20 people like. The class level just kind of collided there, and they said, whoa. And the tongue is just, they're talking. Everybody's talking. They probably all thought, man, he's going to lose his job. Or we're going to find out whose congressman daughter that is. And we're going to find on the news that he's been fooling around with the driver. That driver's going to be dead. That's what they were thinking. I don't know what I would go into that. Oh, my point. Point two right here. The last phrase. Let me read verse 16 here. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. And here's the phrase we're going to deal with tonight, and we're going to be done with this whole series, and God will lead us to something else. But condescend to men of low estate. And I want to look at that phrase. Now, I understand, as we read these verses, we've always made this point. Condescend here is not the same what we mean today. All right? And we're going to attempt to, by the Holy Ghost, help us understand what that is. Be not wise in your own conceit. And we're talking about protecting unity, and we're talking about protecting us being unified in the truth, being of the same agreement in what God says it's true. And we want to protect that because the devil wants to destroy that. The devil wants to get into the church and say, let's destroy this unity. Because when we're unified, we accomplish more. When we're unified, we have a better look to the lost world. They see the love we have for each other, and that gives them an impression that I want that too. And it will help our witness. And so we remind you that we need to protect that unity. And that has to be done with a lot of humility. And so it doesn't change the bottom principle of humility here, But let's go ahead and go through this point number two about the title of the message, as it was last week, was Being Approachable and Being Relatable, Part 2. And what it means to be carried away here, to condescend, is to be carried away with. The idea of being carried away with, or to be influenced by, to be affected by. Look at Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Am I missing anything? I feel like I missed something. An announcement? All right, we're on the right page. All right, Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. All right, Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Look at it with your eyes here and you'll find this phrase carried away. But when Peter was come to Antioch, remember the church was in Jerusalem, and Peter, I would say, was the lead pastor. There was many elders there, but I would believe he was the lead pastor. Now, it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now, this is Paul, all right? There was a problem. They had not agreed on the truth, and that's what I'm talking about. As a brother and a sister in Christ, the only place that we might have disagreement is when it comes to the truth. It is so important in unity that our truth stays the same, because that's where we unite, in that truth. Jesus says that we are in Christ, and he is the way, the truth. He is the truth. In any subject, in any principle, in any doctrine, it has to be based on the Bible truth so that we can unite in that. All right? Because like I said, again, we're human, and we will have differences and preferences, okay? And sometimes those preferences, when it comes to small matters, is not really a big deal. And I'm going back to what I said earlier here and finish it. My wife said, as a missionary, different is not always bad. And that's something we need to learn. Different, it doesn't mean is wrong, just because it's different. And it's the only truth that I could say, and she says this very well, it's just different. You have to understand that. It's just different, okay? It doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's bad. Not automatically, just because something is different makes it wrong, all right? Now, in the Bible, if it's against the Bible, it's different from what the Bible says, you can guarantee it's wrong. But when it comes to preferences and it comes to our opinion, if they're different a little bit, it doesn't mean one is wrong and one is right. It might just be different, okay? So think about that. As we notice here, there's many different kinds of flowers we were sending, and there was different kinds of colors and even different kinds of wrappers in there. It doesn't mean that one is less than over the other. It's just that they're unique in their own and they're different, okay? So maybe that would be a good illustration for you. Look at verse number 12 now. Let me finish verse 11. Peter came to Antioch, and Paul was in Antioch, and Paul said this, I withstood him to the face. Paul was a man's man. He didn't backstab. There was a problem. He talked to the person face to face because he was to be blamed. Okay, now this is serious. There's two good men here. What is wrong? And look at verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Now look at this disclaimer that Paul is trying to say that Peter had in his life that was wrong. Let me read again, verse 12. Don't lose me now. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them, which were of the circumcision. Now, Peter was an apostle to the Jews, and Paul, we know very well in Scripture, he was an apostle to the Gentiles, meaning he had a burden, he had a call to go to the Gentile world. Gentile world simply means they're not Jews. Now, you know the Jews, they could be a bit prejudiced, and they didn't like even half-breeds, which they called, and those were the Samaritans. They had problems even with a half-breed Jew, a Samaritan. And so, Peter here, trying to please the crowd, I imagine, I'm caught doing that at times. If you're a leader of any mixed group. Sometimes it's hard not to please everybody and try to, because sometimes they're not wrong, but they're not also wrong. And you're trying to relate to both. And sometimes you get caught, and maybe I can give Peter a benefit of doubt here. Maybe his intention was right. He just didn't want a problem between these two people, but there was a problem. And Paul said to him, there is some inconsistency in your behavior, and I want to address it. Why is it that when you go with those people, you say this, and then when you go with these other people, you say this? Something is different. Something is wrong. And may I say then again, and I say this to myself, that's why it's so much better, if you're listening now, it's so much better if you live your life based on principles. Because if you live your life based on principles, it doesn't matter who the people are you're around. Because you're basing it on a principle that you believe is found in the truth of the Word of God. That's why it's good if you hear these words to have some conviction. Conviction is that you're simply convinced of a truth personally that you are willing to apply in behavior, you are willing to put it in practice, and it's a principle based on the Word of God. And even us, we will differ in conviction, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people do not want a television in their living room. Good for you. I don't have that conviction. Why? Because when you go to my house, I have a TV in front of the living room. Are we okay right now? Okay, good. I feel like I wasn't okay there for a second. I'm just trying to be honest here. I'm just trying to get us to think. We would differ in conviction. I'm very careful as your pastor, and I believe our pastor, Pastor Cole, at times it's hard for us not to express to you what we personally believe. And you pay attention when we say that. This is what I personally believe. That is in line a lot of times with our conviction. But you don't even have to have that necessarily. You don't have to have that. But you should have your own conviction based on the principles of the Word of God. And guess what? I'll respect you, brother. I'll respect you, sister. Just like you would respect me. Now, it happens to me, I'm in the front here now, and so I get to express myself a little bit more because I'm a human being. I can't help myself. That's just the way it goes. If you were the pastor and you're up here, we're going to hear about you a little bit. All right? But my truth is here to express to you that the truth of the Word of God, there might be even differences in conviction. And though so mighty careful when you're about to pronounce judgment on a brother or a sister that simply does not possess your own conviction. Maybe not convinced as much as you are, they're convinced somewhere else. But just be careful with all those things. And look at verse number 13 of Galatians 2. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. You see the influence now that Peter had, and Paul mentioned this, I have a problem with you, and I'm looking at you right in the face, and I'm going to tell you the problem. You have some inconsistency in your behavior, and your inconsistency is not helping some other brethren, and they're being swayed by your conviction and by your approach and by your behavior. Look at what it says, verse 13, and the other Jews disassemble likewise with him in so much that Barnabas also, and here's the phrase, carried away with their dissimulation. Now, that's a bad negative connotation of the word carried away, but I believe it's the same thought it says here when the Bible speaks of Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16, when it says to condescend to men of low estate. Means to be influenced, to be affected by, to be carried away with men and women that are humble and things that are humble. There's nothing wrong to enjoy fancy things. If God affords it to you that you could enjoy those things, enjoy them. I like some good steak at times. But if I have to eat pork and beans, I will eat pork and beans. If I have to eat bulad, or what we call in Cebuano, dried fish with them Filipinos, so that I can sit with them and talk to them about their marriage, and so I can influence them maybe in their spousal agreement and their relationship with their spouse. And if it takes me to sit there and eat this stinky fish with them, I have no problem eating the stinky fish. But my, oh my, if we have some people that have a better taste of food, and they'll invite me to their house, and they're going to put on a tenderloin steak, or maybe even a filet mignon, or Wagyu, I would go and eat it with you too, bro. No problem with that. No problem with that. There's nothing wrong with enjoying nice things of life. But be careful you don't get to the point where you cannot enjoy the humble things, because you don't know how to relate to some of us. They can't put the steak on your table once in a while. We can. We just don't have the money. And so think about those things. Don't let yourself be carried away by things and people that inflate you. It's not good for you. And lead you to pride and haughtiness. Rather, be carried away, be influenced by, be with people that are humble, things that are humble, so that the humble will influence you to be humble. There's a simple truth, and it might be simple because even the lost understand this. It's easier to go up in status than it is once you're up to go down. So help yourself. In your mind, even though you're up here, remain down here. Because if you're up here at times, your circle of influence will be mighty small. Whereas even though if God has blessed you, I have no problem with God blessing you. And if God has blessed you with fortune, glory be to God. Enjoy it, brother. I'm not jealous. Enjoy it, sister. I ain't jealous, especially when you share some of it with me. I will be very happy. And I'm going to be happy with you. Just kidding. It doesn't matter if you share it or not. There's no prerequisite. You'll be my friend. And I can be your friend. But if you have that, it's easier with the state of mind. And Paul, the Bible talks about Saul when he was little. It was better in his own mind when he was little in his sight. But sometimes we get a big head because now we're in important places. And sometimes we feel, well, I don't have time to talk to unimportant people. Let me tell you this. Everybody is important. I know my human flesh. Well, this person is a little bit more important than this one. And at times that might be, man, I'm going to be careful what I'm saying. That might be true. But God works with small things. He really does. And so, I know time is so short and we have very limited time. And there's some truth. I went to a college, Bible school, that they taught us that you need to mind your time because as a leader, you can only influence so many people. And if you're spending so much time on the down and out all the time, and then you're going to waste that time that you can put in somebody that maybe is a little bit more potential. And I think there's wisdom in there. I'm not knocking that. And there's Bible verses that can talk about that. I understand that. But I understand as I work with somebody that I feel like has more potential, I have to be careful that if I do have been given time and I do have the ability to talk to those, the Bible talks about the uncomely parts of the body, I should. I should. I appreciate, again, all the people that work with people that have some disabilities. I appreciate them. It takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of sacrifice to do so. But let us be mindful of the things that are humble. That we learn and we keep in our hearts an attitude that yes, we can sit here with the in crowd, but yet we can also sit here with them. Because then we have more influence. And as we have more influence, God can use us more. And God can use us to see amazing things happen. I appreciate, again, it's a great testimony of what we saw. Of men and women that go to a country that would never even dream of coming here. But she gets to go. and others like her that have means gets to go. And you know how it thrills my heart as she slides through those pictures and as she shows us those things. I'm sure it affects her. And I'm sure, if I'm honest, sis, you say it keeps you humble. Keeps her thankful to say, God has been good to me, and I get to help those people. If you've never been in a mission trip or in a third world country, go. It will be good for you. Go. Go find somebody you can go and hang out with. You might not like to go with me, fine. I don't care. Don't let me hinder you. Pastor said go. So, oh, you don't want to go with Pastor said? That's no problem. Go find yourself another way. Go. Go. And see somebody else that might be less fortunate than you. And there'll be a good practice of this passage to learn to live in their life for a little bit and influence them and help them out. Help them out. We should work hard to be the best we can be. We should enjoy all of God's blessings that we have. But we should be guarded from being prideful. We should remain humble and thankful. Look at Romans. If you're still in Romans chapter number 12, turn to Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 11. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 11. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. This is the same Paul now. And by the way, Peter and Paul resolved the conflict, all right? So I didn't want to leave you with those verses. They resolved their conflict. They spoke highly of one another. Peter complimented Paul in his epistle. If you read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, they got it back together. They're happy in heaven together, right? They're okay. And by the way, we find out in Acts later that Paul and Barnabas went out and to be missionaries. So Barnabas got back and said, hey, I'm not going to be carried away with not being with Jews. I'm going to go with the apostle to the Gentiles. I'll go with him, and we'll go on mission trips. And they saw great things happen. And you know the rest of the story with that. And so Romans 1 and verse 11 to 12, it says, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. This is Paul. I think this is with sincerity. Look at this attitude, and may this be in our attitude when it talks about Romans 12 and verse 16. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you. You see the need he had for these people? These people was not a project to him. These are not subordinates and he be elevated above them. That was not his attitude. He could very well have that attitude. He was a brilliant man. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrews of the Hebrews. He was a Roman citizen. He had a lot of accolades that he can talk about and brag about. But his idea here, and I love these verses because it shows you the heart of Paul. And later on, we're going to see another principle that he lived by as a missionary. And I feel that's why he was so used. He was so used. You see all the people he mentions in his letters? Just read it sometime. My fellow brethren, my fellow prisoner, my fellow laborer, this couple, this man, this guy, this young man. It's amazing what Paul did and how he was relatable and how he was approachable, because I think he learned what Romans 12 and verse 16 mean. He learned to condescend to men of low estate. He stood with Agrippa. He stood with Felix. He stood with great men, with renowned men, with men of position. But yet he did not mess that up. And he said, I'm still going to be with the low. And what a great life he lived. And this truth is evident in his life. And he said this. I think this is with utmost sincerity. Look at what he says, verse 12 of Romans 1. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. May I paraphrase what he's saying here? Paul, as a master teacher, did not come to just teach. That is what some of us like to do. We fall in traps, especially if we feel like we know the Bible. We feel like we're grown in faith. We've been a Christian for a long time. When we meet somebody new, our automatic response is, I'm going to teach you a few things. That should not be our attitude. That's a good thing that we are apt to teach. But let's drop a little bit more. Let's drop it a little bit more. Let's get to their level. Let's see if we can learn from them too. As we're imparting them, wisdom to them, maybe they'll give us some wisdom. Maybe that'd be the attitude we should have. Paul, as a master teacher, did not come to just teach, but humbly said, I have something to give you, and oh my, you have something to give me. We can learn from each other. You know, some of the friendship that I've had and some of the things that I'm really enjoying now is friends that I know I can teach them a few things, and they turn around and teach me a few things. My marriage has come to a point in its existence, our marriage, that I treasure my wife and I say, I can learn from her too. And then she can learn from me. And what a blossoming relationship. What a deep, strong friendship I have. Do that with people. Do that with people. Find somebody that can impart to you as you impart to them. You see the word mutual. We don't hear this enough, but I'm going to say it to you. There should be in Christianity, in brothers and sisters, some mutual respect for one another. We don't have that. We find classes of people. Oh, he's been saved a long time. He dresses super nice. He brings a big Bible. He talks very well. Well, he's somebody that's way up here. And I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm right over here. We should not be in the church house. That should not be. Those that are spiritual should come down to those that are young and say, come alongside of me. Be carried away with me. The only prerequisite for us to fellowship with anybody and to have any kind of influence with each other is simply this. Are they a child of God? Are they saved? Are they born again, child of God? And if they are, we can learn from them. I said this before and I'll say it again. I can learn as a man from women too. May I say that one more time? I can learn from godly women, even though I'm a man. I said it this morning. If you not caught my drift this morning, I appreciate some of you that has been a mother to me. What I mean that in respect, because you have taught me some things as a mother, as a godly influence in my life. Man, you have a problem if you can't learn from a woman. Say it again. Man, you have a problem if you can't learn from a godly woman. Paul and Jesus had many women that followed him. And Jesus had no hesitation to say great things about them. No gender. We're equal at the foot of the cross. God said there's no male nor female. We have roles. Don't get lost now. Men, we have a responsibility to lead. But it doesn't make us better. It doesn't make us more special. We just have a certain role we have to play. And it's important. We need to do our job. Men, you shouldn't be competing with women things. Man, I worry about you when you're, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to leave it alone. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. This is a technique, and it's a good one. In working with people, pretend you don't know. Does that not work in a circumstance when you're talking to somebody and when you're trying to impart knowledge to them? You know how I do it? I do it like this. You know what? I don't know what I'm doing. And sometimes it's really true. I have no clue. And I'm asking you. So don't figure out when I know and when I don't know. Most of the time, I don't know. But when your approach is low, and you always approach low and you say, you know what, I would like some help in this area of my life. I just don't know what I'm doing. Could you impart some things in me? That's a good start to a good relationship. Because if somebody's honest and you come across that way, you welcome it. You welcome it. You don't fight it. You welcome it. And when you welcome it, The quietest person would speak to you. And it will impart to you some wisdom you would not get otherwise. And so learn some of those things. Don't come across like you know everything. Come across like you don't know some things. So that you can relate with somebody that might be good at that. And they would be unintimidated by you and your personality. And you drop some of the guards. And they come up to you. Oh, you don't know that? You don't know the best pizza in this place? Well, guess what? Let me treat you. And get a pizza. You get free pizza that way. I'm just brand new here. I don't know where good pizza is. Do you know? I even drop my accent sometimes. No, just kidding. Don't lie. But genuinely approach people low. James 2, 1 to 5. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Again, James deals with this relationship. Horizontal relationship and how we justify what we do in the eyes of men. And God is concerned about that because if our relationship is right with here, our relationship should be right here. That's why he said in some parts of scripture, when you say you do not love your brother which you see, how can you say you love me which you cannot see? All right? He uses your relationship and what you do amongst the people you see as a contrast with your relationship with God. And so he says that here. So it's important. Look at verse number 2. Now, mind you, respect of persons is what's being talked about. For if there come unto you assembly, a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there came in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Now, the word gay here is thinking of eloquence, of a compliment. It's not the word gay of today, all right? That's not the word that it means. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. There's some culture happening here I don't have time to explain. That's very, very, very degrading, all right? Verse number 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? I'm not saying that rich people don't have faith. That's not what it's saying, okay? And heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to them that love him. And so we need to be careful in our approach with another. We should treat every person with the same love. And the same respect and the same care. That's a good rule to have. Now, some will be more respectable because they behave respectfully. And others won't. Others would be just flat out mean to you at times. And for those, God says, love your enemies. Do good to them. And be kind to them. The only thing that should matter to a Christian in regards to whom he or she is willing to be carried away with or being influenced or being have a part of is whether or not one is not whether one is rich or poor, is not whether one is high or low in standing, but if he's a Christian. Is he a child of God? And if so, if he's a child of God, because I'm in Christ and they're in Christ, then I belong to them. And I love meeting them. And I would love to talk to them. And I would love to have fellowship with them. So in the Christian faith, there is no prejudice. In the Christian faith, there is no prejudice. In the Christian faith, we should not have this heart and spirit within us to say there's certain people I want to hang out with, there's other people I don't want to hang out with, and we cannot justify and say that's okay in the Christian faith. Now, there are, in real living, there are harder people to get along with than others because of who we are personally. And in that place, I understand at times we're prone to hang out with certain people and we're not prone to hang out with others. But may I say this, challenge yourself to get out of comfort zones and cross lines and find yourself finding friends in places you don't even dream of. Try it. This is a good place to do it. Because we're all brothers and sisters here. Find somebody that don't have anybody talking to them. And talk to them. And you find out, oh, they don't really want to talk to anybody. Then be respectful and walk away. Try again another time. Find something they like to talk about. Get something. Get some research done. And find out. And try to influence them. And try to belong to them. Jesus Christ was friends of the publicans and sinners. He was misunderstood by this. It was natural to him. He did it easily. He washed the disciples' feet. What humility. There's nothing more carnal in the Christian church than have social distinction. We should have all things common to anyone that nameth the name of Christ. No one is better than the other. We should never be in any way snobbish to anyone. We need to be down to earth. A couple of verses and we'll be done tonight. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but when in all points tempted like us we are, and yet without sin. We cannot argue this truth I'm preaching, because the very God of heaven, the very God of heaven, the highest throne you can sit, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in Philippians 2 came to the lowest, and that's you and me, to lift us out, to influence us, to better us. And I cannot not preach this as your pastor, because I would be mighty wrong. This is the attitude we need to have. Even the greatest, the highest, the glory of heaven he put down so he can go to earth, because he loved us and he humbled himself. I can't talk to that person. I just can't stand them. You talk to God about that. You need to ask God about that. Ask him if he feels the same way. Isaiah 53:4. What a God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm learning, the more friends you have, the more burdens you get to bear. The more secrets that they can't share with anybody else, they get to share with you. And you get to the throne of grace. And you can rejoice with them when God answers some of their prayers, because they've been sharing it with you. They can't share it with anybody else. It'd be great of all those unspoken that is written back there. I understand this. We can't reveal everything to everybody. It takes relationship. It takes time. But all of those unspoken, would it be neat if you're one of the person that knew about it? Because they love you and trust you so much that they would go to you and say, I need your help. Please pray for this. That is what the church is supposed to be. That is where we should have it. But I understand you've spoken at one time and you have been betrayed. Your trust has been violated. At times, they didn't keep their mouth shut and they exposed something very sensitive. If you have done that to a brother and you're wondering why they're not talking to you, that'd be the reason why. And may you pray and God help you and the Holy Spirit guide you. Make amends with the brother before it's too late. Some of us might need to go to somebody and say, I betrayed your trust. I'm so sorry. You may never trust me again. But I'm letting you know this. I'm going to let God work in my life. I'm going to work in my life so you can be a friend to me when you're ready. I'm here. And then show them a proof of what you're saying. Not just in word, but in deed. Influence comes from being involved. Influence comes from being involved. You want to impact a life, you must involve yourself in that life. You want a great impact to happen to someone, then you must involve yourself in that someone. Dear Jesus, you're amazing. He impacted me so much because he got involved with my life. He really did. He got all in. He said, I want to be in your life, Chris. Would you let me? And I said, go ahead, come right on in. Do you want influence? We all want to impact somebody. Then involve yourself. Take some risks. They'll reject you. You'll be acquainted with grief. You'll be a man full of sorrow. They won't thank you. They won't even esteem you. They'll mock you for trying to help them. Influence comes from being involved, from being there. It's lost in isolation and or in hiding. How can we reach a world we never touch? Last verse, and I'm done tonight. 1 Corinthians 9:22. I told you, I'll go back to Paul. The heart of Paul, he said this. 1 Corinthians 9:22, and we're done tonight. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You want to see God use your life? Then may I say, condescend to men of low estate. Be carried away with people. When people come to you and they give you the woes of their life, I know it takes a lot of time. My wife and I, we're trying to balance our life as preachers. There's people that call me. But I have to say to her, I said, babe, if I don't listen to them, who will? Who will listen to them? They need to be heard. They're hurting. They need me to listen. And guess what I do? I listen. And guess what I find? A friend in them. Guess what I get to do? I get to impact their life. We're one of the last people that leave this church. You ask, you stay, sit around and wait for us. We're the last people to leave here. Because we involve ourselves with people. Christian, you want God to use you to impact somebody else? I know it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. Do what you can. Start with small steps. You don't have to be the most jovial guy. God has used some very, very quiet people. You know the story of Brother Martin in the Philippines. Thousands of churches started. Thousands of churches started. Let me say it again. Thousands of church plants. We have four. Thousands of church plants. Men pastoring those churches. If he walked through these doors, you would have thought he would be the janitor of their church. That's the way he just got clipboards. That's what he does. He talks so quiet. I've heard him talk, and I'm like, what is that man saying? I wish I could hear him. God has used him mightily. You don't have to have the personality. You don't have to have the charisma. In fact, the least of those things you have, the more glory God gets. May I just say this? Impact somebody else today. It might be your children. Spend time with your children. It might be a brother that you don't even think to influence. Go get them today. It might be a young man in this church. Men of age, you're supposed to teach us. Lady of age, you're supposed to teach some of these young ladies. How are you doing that when you're busy correcting their life rather than being with them in their level and say, can you teach me how to do this? And you'll be mighty shocked. Some of these young people will open up to you and say, oh, I can. And you find yourself influencing some people today. Lord, we've been there a long time. I'm just gonna pray, and I'm going to have the pianist. We're not going to sing any song. We've just been here a long time. Just play a song, brother, in the moment, quietness. If you want to come to the front, I'm not going to belabor this. If you feel like you need to come to the front, you can. It's open right now. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's eyes are closed and their heads are bowed. We've been here a while. It's Mother's Day. Thank you for being here today. We're not going to belabor this. If you want to come, as the pianists play, make your way. I'm giving you an opportunity to come to the front. If you don't feel like you need to come to the front, make a decision in your heart. And I'm just going to close in a prayer, and we're going to be dismissed after that. You're struggling with something in your life, and you are struggling with being approachable, being relatable. Or you want to be better at it. Won't you ask God to help you? The altar is open if you want to come. Lord, we are thankful tonight for your word as we end this series, Lord, of Romans chapter number 12, verse 15 to 16. I pray that we would learn some things and that we would learn to apply them. Bless us as we're dismissed. Give us a wonderful week. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great night.